But if you'll turn to Matthew 7 for just a moment, I want to take a quick look there. Because one of the things that we've been looking to do is to be with God where He is. And I want to just create just a little bit of an additional signpost here. Because I believe that He's looking for us to be with Him where He is. But I think there's another understanding and something else that we need to look at here. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, it doesn't mean just somebody who just sinned. That means somebody who cultivates it. Somebody who's now reaping a harvest of unrighteousness. Somebody who practices at it. But what it is saying here is that our goal is not just to be with Him, but to be known by Him. And as we're known by Him, then naturally come will flow out of that place a doing of His will. I know it's way too early for that, right? But doing His will should be part of our goal. It seems rather simplistic, but the reality is, how much time do we actually give to making a mental ascent to do that? When we're faced with a decision, is that our first thought? What is your will, Lord? So that's what we want to begin to look at. I want to go back and look at some of the pathways of a thought, like we talked about the other day. Some of the pathways of thought. Because our pathways of thought become an entrance into the kingdom of God. The pathways of thought establish the will of God in our life, if we're allowing them to be lined up with His will. Just for review, if we'll go to 2 Peter 2. In here, verse 2 of 2 Peter 1, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." All that's one big long sentence. Paul delights in long sentences, but he wants to carry a whole thought. See, it's by grace and peace. This whole section of things that are coming up here is happened by grace and peace being multiplied in our life. Grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of Christ. As we understand that grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of Christ, the more that we know Him, the more we will know the grace that comes with Him, because He is grace manifested. The more that we know Him, we will know peace in a way that we could not know peace any other way. We'll know a level of peace that goes beyond the normal understanding of what peace is. And for most of us, that's a neat thing. When we begin to see and operate and understand peace, it begins to change how we respond to our world around us. When we begin to stand and operate in this peace, it begins to change the things that we allow to get close to us. Because see, as I begin to know peace, I begin to know what's not peace. I begin to see, oh, you know what? That causes strife in my life. I don't need that anymore. Suddenly, the things that I used to listen to, I don't want to listen to anymore. The more I know of God's peace, the more that it changes my appetite for certain things. For example, the old rock and roll stuff that I used to listen to doesn't have a whole lot of hold on me. It doesn't have peace in it. Now, your thing may not have been rock and roll. It may have been something else. But the deal is if it's not cultivating peace in your life, it's become something that as peace becomes part of you, you just naturally shy away from. So grace and peace are being multiplied in the knowledge of God. Both Moses and Paul understood that if they could know the Father better, the grace and peace would follow. And if they knew the Father better and grace and peace would follow, then grace and peace would be able to deal with the issues that they were having to deal with. Both those men had extreme things going on in their life around them. You have to lead 1 million people through a desert with no food and no water. That's pretty extreme. You better know God. You better get to know this God. He did all that and found out that even after doing that, he still wanted to know God more. He still wanted to know God more. Paul journeyed 3,000 miles. And that was on feet that had been beaten with rods. You got to get to know God to accomplish those things. You got to begin to walk in His grace and in His peace to accomplish that. So all that is just a warm-up to bring you down to this point down here, which is verse 10. For brethren, this is 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of God, our Lord and Savior, will be abundantly supplied to you. The entrance into the kingdom of God is abundantly supplied by grace and peace being manifested in your life. As grace and peace, which are being manifested, are being multiplied by the knowledge of God, as they begin to be manifested in your life, the entrance into the kingdom is being manifested, being abundantly supplied in that way. Those who are growing in grace and peace will have their entrance into the kingdom abundantly supplied. Now we began to look at entrance, at the word entrance, and begin to realize that it's this. It's a gate. And it comes from a root word, which means a pathway of thought. A pathway of thought. A pathway of desire. It's a pathway that's being applied and supplied to us. It's the pathways of thought that we've accumulated that determine who we are. The one thing I became aware of finally by the time I was about 25 was that most of everything that I had gone through, many other people had gone through, their responses were not always the same as mine. It's our responses to the things that have happened to us that determine who we are. It's our responses to the challenges that life presents us that determine who we are. Two people can take the same incident and one can take it and use it as a reason to get better and to strive farther and to go farther in life. And the other person can use it as a reason to just go into an alcoholic fit. It's the reaction. But see, that reaction comes from a pathway of thought. The way we think determines what happens, what our reaction will be. There are a whole bunch of millionaires out there who were doing that simply to get their daddy's attention. And yet there are a whole lot of addicts out there for the very same reason, trying to get their daddy's attention. It's all a pathway of thought. What have we learned? Our learned behaviors are a pathway of thought. The strongholds in our life are just a negative pathway of thought. But the good news is that this thing, this pathway of thought that the enemy uses against us so often is something the Lord can use for us if we'll allow it. If we'll begin to allow Him to build and construct a new pathway in our thought. That means that we're going to have to give up some of the old pathways. As long as we're willing to give it up, He's willing to instruct us and teach us how and build us up in it. Acts 20:32 says that grace will come alongside us to build us up and give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Acts 20:32 says that grace will build us up. Grace will build us up. And there should be a book of grace. I think that's a great name for a book in the Bible. Hallelujah. It builds us up. Grace comes alongside. When we begin to walk in the knowledge of God, then grace and peace are multiplied to us. And grace, in turn, builds us up. Begins to build up and build a new pathway. Like I pointed out the other day, when you're in the military, their whole job is to tear you down. When you come into boot camp, they tear you down. Why? Why did they do that, Jeremy? To build you back up in the way they want you to think. Because they don't want you to think however you thought when you got there. They're no longer interested in you thinking that way. They want you to think our way. You're going to think the Navy way, you're going to think the Army way, you're going to think the Marine way, but you're going to think in our way. God has the same thought process for us. But it's called walking in grace. We're going to have a grace boot camp. I think that's a cool idea. So when we begin to look here, we repeat the same mistakes because we really don't know how else to do it. We continue doing the same wrong things. Because those are the things we're familiar with. I don't know about you, but I don't like going around the mountain more than once. If I can help it, I don't want to go around it even once. But sometimes we do it because we don't know we're doing it. Sometimes we have a predisposition to something because we've been hurt so many different times in our life, so therefore everything around us that begins to happen looks like more hurt. We've been offended, so everything around us looks like more offense. But it doesn't have to stay that way. We can learn a new way. And that's part of what God is trying to do and change within us. Certain people are wired for some things. Have you ever met somebody who's just a math genius? I mean, certain people are wired to work with computers, and certain people are just, I mean, they just have an innate understanding of mechanics or whatever it is. But you have to understand, some of those things are just part of their particular set pathway of thought. When I was growing up, no one had to teach me to look at things in a certain way. Because God had already wired me to look. I don't know how I looked, but I just looked at certain mechanical things and I just understood how they worked. I can't explain that process to somebody who doesn't do that. There are certain people who are wired that way for numbers. But our creative juices that are within us begin to flow because there are certain things that are familiar with us, and yet we also begin to have to step outside of those patterns of thought. When we step outside of the patterns of what is already there, then we create something new. We do that with a new recipe. We take this ingredient, that ingredient, and this topping and mix it all together, and something different comes out. We have both a pathway of thought and the ability to create. Because God made us creative creatures. Part of that creation process means that we can reestablish or recorrect old pathways of thought. We're not just renewing the mind. That's not what I'm talking about. Renewing the mind is something that we definitely need to do. However, renewing the mind in and of itself doesn't give us access to what's available. I'm talking about creating a pathway within our understanding that brings us into the kingdom of God. We can renew our mind and just become more educated. We can renew our mind and just become more understanding of the things of God without ever entering into the things of God. I'm talking about creating a pathway that leads us into the things of God. Hebrews 11 says this, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When we begin to understand that hope is knowing that what has been is not what shall be, what has been is not what shall be, then we begin to see that things hoped for, that is the process of faith being established in our life, is to establish a new pathway of thought. Because we have to begin to see past what is here today to begin to imagine and step into the faith of what can be here tomorrow. There's a new pathway of thought established. But see, that new pathway can lead us into an entrance into the kingdom. When we begin to understand what is available to us, that through this pathway of thought, that there's an entrance into the kingdom available to us. There's an entrance into this place where He is with us. Then we begin to understand and go past the things that have typically stymied us in the past. A couple of years ago, I had a pathway of thought that operated inside my head that anytime I made a major purchase, I would go into a depression. And I didn't even understand it. I just did it. I didn't know why. But then I began to see and understand that it was a response to how my father would respond every time I had made a major purchase. And he'd respond with some kind of disapproval every time. And every time that I would make a major purchase, I would feel that disapproval before it was ever even voiced. I was 49 years old and still feeling that disapproval and still reacting to that disapproval. Even though he had been gone for 15 years at that point, I was still reacting to the disapproval. It was time for a new pathway of thought. And when I began to see it, I began to say, Lord, I do not want to do this anymore. I began searching out the Lord and His grace came into my life, and I began to be set free from that pathway of thought. As I was set free from that thinking, it set me free in such a way that I was able to react to the same circumstances in a whole different way. And it gave me an entrance into the part of the kingdom that I could have never have known, had not grace shown up, had not come into this understanding. Because when that freedom began to come over me, then it activated a place for faith to be established in my life. As a result of that place for faith being established in my life, Kim and I received a blessing like no blessing that we've ever received before. And when she called me about it on the phone, I was really standing in the store going, "It works! It works! It works!" Because we had a pledge going at that moment, and I had no way to fulfill it otherwise, except by faith. When that blessing came forth, when the whole process came forth, when it became evident that it was coming, I mean, the joy and excitement of that flooded through my system. There's a joy and excitement that begins to flood us when we can realize that we've been set free from the past. When we've been set free from previous ways of thinking, and now we can begin to operate in the way of the kingdom. We can operate in the way of faith. That's the kind of pathways of thought He wants to create within us. Pathways that create this freedom. Pathways that begin to create an understanding and an ability to walk in the faith that God has called us to walk in. See, there's something that Jesus is wanting to do with that freedom that comes into us. He's wanting to leave a testimony so that the world can see what he's really like. I mean, it was a huge blessing, and it was a blessing for Enrique and some others. It was a blessing for us. But at the same time, that's not all that he wanted to accomplish. What he wants to accomplish is he wants to be a blessing in your life so others can look at that and go, hey, what's up? So others can see that and be set free themselves. Because see, a whole lot of people in the world out there look at Jesus as some kind of a bigot. Some kind of a hypocrite. If they think about it at all. But that's not who he is. We want him to know the God of all, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The one who's the magnificent one. The one who's the compassionate one. The one who's the healer. The one who's the restorer. The one who brings forth goodness and grace into our life. That's the Jesus we want them to meet. And that's the Jesus that they can meet as we begin to overcome the pathways of thought. He wants to be the restorer. The redeemer. That's the Jesus that we can exemplify as we step into the freedom that he's given available to us. Go to Hebrews 10:19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Just back up to verse 20 and concentrate on that. By a new and living way. That word way is the same word as used for entrance. In other words, by a new and living pathway of thought. See, Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, there's a living pathway of thought that's available to us. A pathway of thought that's no longer leading us to death, but a pathway of thought that leads us into life. A pathway of thought that leads us into the rejoicing and the resurrection power, dunamis power that is available in his life. It's a pathway of thought that takes us past the veil of the flesh. Whose flesh? Our flesh. It's a pathway of thought that takes us past that veil of flesh. I don't know about you, but for me, that's really good news. Because some days I have a difficult time turning all that stuff off. For me, the biggest battle is to turn all those things off to step into his presence. But see, I have a promise here that I have a new and living way. That I have a new and living pathway of thinking, a way of thinking that he is establishing within me to give me entrance into his kingdom. A new and living entrance into his kingdom. That's what he's giving us. I began to understand that I'm not just standing at any old door, but I'm standing at a living door. A door that is looking and inviting and embracing me, not just me trying to search and fight my way through. Because I can see there's a pathway of thought that he's creating that gives me entrance. Wednesday night we listened to Richard talk about heaven, and it was obvious that he had developed, probably unconsciously in his case, a pathway of thought that gave him that entrance. Because if you ask him about it, he doesn't know how. He just does it. But the deal is there's a pathway that was created because he went in the same way. There's a pathway of thought that's new and living, and it draws us into that which is living and away from that which is dead. It allows us to operate in this resurrection life and a resurrection understanding. It's a pathway that's based on understanding that he is with us. And when I understand that he's with me, I'm no longer alone. I'm no longer doing this by my own strength. If we can just keep this in mind as we search out and search to be with God and be with Him where He is, if we just keep this in mind that He is with us, that in itself will draw you near. If you don't pick up anything else today, pick that one up. Because understanding that He is with us, as soon as I begin to truly apprehend that He's with me, all the other doubts, all the other veils begin to drop off. Those other veils begin to be let loose just in the understanding that He's with me. Because as I sit in that place of understanding, then I can begin to react to Him. I can begin to come into agreement with Him. When you get saved, what is it that you say? One of the things that you're saying, in essence, is this: Jesus is Lord of my life. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, if Jesus is Lord of your life, then your thoughts no longer belong to you. If your thoughts no longer belong to you, those thoughts that create doubt and unbelief, those thoughts that create unworthiness, condemnation, they don't belong to you either. I want you to just think about that. See, we're harboring things that don't have a right to stay there anymore. The unworthiness doesn't have a right to stay there anymore. The selfishness doesn't have a right to stay there anymore. The guiltiness doesn't have to stay there anymore because it doesn't belong to you anymore. He wants to create a new pathway, a pathway that leads to life. All those other things lead to death. You know, when we begin to have this consciousness of our sin, all that leads us to do, more sin. If the only thing that we're going to think about is this sin, oh, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that. What are you going to do? But when we begin to have a consciousness of His life, that's what He's talking about. When your conscience is sprinkled clean, your conscience is washed away, you have no consciousness of the sin anymore, you have a consciousness of His life. And it becomes a new pathway. That consciousness of His life becomes a new pathway because He's a living God and we have the ability to enter in with a living God. All the things that hold me back don't have a right to be here anymore. The insecurities and the doubts and the unbeliefs that I've allowed, it was me allowing it, it wasn't God. And I can begin to stand in the place and say, no, you don't have a place to be here. You don't have an authority to be here any longer. But it's not just us. Go to Proverbs 4:23. It's a real familiar scripture. It's not just us. We are not alone. You serve a God who loves you. Here's the instruction that we have. Verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's what it says in the New American Standard. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. A wellspring. You don't have to turn there, but Deuteronomy says this, 4 verse 9, says, take heed of your spirit. Take heed of your spirit. It's a very similar verse to what we're expressing here. That's in Deuteronomy 4:9. Take heed of your spirit. And so when we look at this and we think that this is all of our responsibility to watch over and be diligent over the issues of our heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. I like the New American Standard Version because it says, out of it flow the springs of life. Out of it is the wellspring. So that wellspring is a fountain. It's a living water that begins to flow. There's a living water that can flow out of our life when we begin to find our place of alignment with God. But we look at this as something that we have to do in our own strength. But I don't think that's ever His intention. Because see, that would just create a greater constriction. God's going to give you a greater freedom. Watching over our heart means we want to stand in priesthood over this heart. We want to stand in the authority of the priesthood over this area of our heart. Because see, we're keeping it with all diligence. But that doesn't mean that we're making all the labor on our own. It means we're allowing Him to labor with us. Let's go to John 7:38. How many know that the enemy knows how to push your button? How many know that your husband or your wife knows how to push your button? The deal is we all know somebody who knows how to push our button. But see, we can begin to respond out of the Spirit instead of out of by habit. That's what I believe He's telling us when we're watching over the areas of our heart. 7:38 says this, He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He who believes in me, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the innermost being, out of his heart, shall flow rivers of living water. He who believes, he who has faith, he will stand in faith. Out of his innermost being, that heart, shall flow rivers of living water. Out of the heart. See, it's not just a matter of operating by our habit anymore. It's a matter of operating by the Spirit. It's allowing the Spirit of God to come and be evident. By faith, we can step into a new way of thinking. That happens when we begin to understand that we're not alone and we're not having to do it just out of human will. It happened for me this morning. I woke up and these words, by faith, step into a new way of thinking, were the first words I thought. Because all this week, the enemy has been working in my life trying to create a certain apathy and depression. Because there were certain things that had happened that were all just kind of piling up one upon the other to try to bring me into a place of being overwhelmed. And what I began to see this morning when I woke up, I just shifted my faith. The oppression that I was feeling came off in an instant as I shifted my faith. I've been being oppressed all week, and yet by faith, I stepped into a place of being free. Because we're not alone. We're not alone. See, we're coming to a place where Jesus is with us. I didn't have to do that out of the sheer strength of my will or character. I just did it by faith. I came into a new way of thinking. And those things that were weighing on my spirit left because they had no more right to be there. That's powerful stuff. I've never had that happen before. Not like that. It's an awareness that he was been building aware, but this was the first time I had the conscious thought of it. Because the rivers of living water that he's been storing up within my heart were given access to flow forth. This guarding over our heart with all diligence, watching over our heart with all diligence, is not just something that we do by ourselves, but it's something we do with the Spirit of God in us. We allow the Spirit of God to manifest itself. But it is, it's an outward flow. It's a manifestation of the Spirit of God into your life by faith. Why is it by faith? Go to Romans 4:16 so we can see why it's by faith. Because see, this is how I came to this place, was just by meditating these verses. For this reason, it is by faith that it may be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants. In order that the promise may be certain. It's by faith that it may be in accordance with grace that the promise could be certain. We have a promise that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So by faith I began to access that place and it happened. By faith I was able to access that place and I was able to watch over the issues of my heart. And then out of those issues of my heart began to flow wellsprings of water. No longer living under the oppression that the enemy was trying to create, but being able to recognize the freedom that God gives. Right? That the promises may be certain. It's by grace, that it may be in accordance with grace. Why grace? Hebrews 4:16. This is that we receive grace to help in our time of need. When we approach the throne of grace, we'll receive grace to help in our time of need. If you're being oppressed by the enemy, even though you may be functioning and doing everything else you're supposed to do, you still have a time of need. And you don't have to submit to it. You can come to the place of exchange and exchange that oppression for his freedom. This is how grace begins to build you up. Because it begins to bring you into the place of exchange. And so those things that have affected us, those things that have held us back, we can begin to exchange them for freedom. And guess what? Now you can begin to have an eye for the inheritance that you've received in Christ. You can begin to have an eye for that inheritance because you've already been to the place of exchange by grace. And it's important that we do that because remember the demonstration that I did about the law of gravity. Well, anyway, I just took a little tissue thing and dropped it. And every time it drops, no matter, every time I let loose, it drops. But see, something that weighs hundreds of thousands of pounds can fly. Because the law of physics, the law of thrust and lift will supersede the law of gravity. In that same way, then the Lord has other things he'll begin to do with you. Because see, in that same way, his law of life supersedes the stinking thinking. The law of life supersedes death. The law of life will supersede that which is leading you into death. Because see, that law of life begins to come into effect when we begin to see him and receive him and walk with him in a new and living way. When we walk with him in a new and living way, suddenly that life becomes more prevalent and supersedes the death that was tracking us. You want to look longer? You want to be younger? Allow the law of life to begin working in your members. Let me show you something here back in Hebrews 10. What does it say here? by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. When you have a new and living way that's been made available to you, it's actually an affront to God if you don't apply it. It's a rejection of what he's given us. He said he's given us a way to draw near. He's guaranteeing, he said his promise is that we have a way to draw near. And we just learned this moment ago that his promises are made certain by faith. His promises are made certain by grace. So we have an access. Not only has he made it possible to draw near, but he's making it evident that he desires us to draw near. In this place, we can come with the assurance of having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, like we talked about a moment ago, and our bodies washed with pure water. There's nothing to hold us back. The only thing that holds us back is some stinking thinking that resides within the land of things that don't even belong to us anymore. Those thoughts and those ideas that are keeping us out aren't even ours to keep. So in my thought process, now that I begin to see it this way and this clearly, it's like, Lord, deal with those thoughts. Lord, you can have all that stuff because I really don't need it anymore. Anything and everything that's ever held me back, all the insecurity, all the doubt, all the self-condemnation, all the unworthiness, all the fear, all the anger, all those things, whatever it is, those thoughts don't belong to me anymore. I want God to come and create a new set of thoughts. A new pathway. A new pathway to deal with my life that's around me now. A new pathway to deal with the future that's in front of me yet ahead. Because in that new pathway, I'm going to find new victory. And in that new victory, I'm going to find new evidence of who God is to just put on display for all the world to see. As I find new evidence, it'll affect the world around me that much more. Amen? Amen. By faith, we do these things. There was one part that I didn't get to mention last week. I'll run through it very quickly. You go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. And he's been talking to them about the gifts. How to prophesy, do miracles, walk in signs, healing, wonders. All that stuff. He said here in verse 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And you guessed it. It's another, I'll show you a more excellent entrance. The more excellent entrance. The more excellent pathway of thought is love. Why? Because faith works by love. Because love is the one thing that brings us into the fullness of God. When we begin to look at Ephesians 3 and 19, that when we understand this love that he had for Christ, this love that supersedes knowledge, that's the love that leads us into the fullness of God. So when we begin to understand these things, we begin to recognize that it's greater than all the signs, miracles, and wonders to operate in the love of God. To allow that love of God to be into you in such a way that it's the fullness of God operating in you. And we can all look at God. We can look at Jesus there because it says to know the love of Jesus. But see, it's not just Jesus' love for us that he's talking about. It's the Father's love for Jesus. He wants us to know that love. Because we can all understand him loving Jesus because he was perfect. We can all understand him loving Jesus because Jesus always did everything that he was supposed to do. He always did the will of the Father. He always walked in the way that he was supposed to. He accomplished everything on earth that he was supposed to. He fulfilled every scripture. You notice how all those things are about what he did. But God's love, that love that he has for Jesus is the same love that he has for you. And it's not about the receiver. It's about the giver. The love that he has for Jesus, which we can understand him having that love for Jesus because Jesus was perfect, is the same love that he has for you. And that's what he's telling you in that verse. And that same love that he has for you is not because you are perfect, but because his love, God is love. His love is perfect. And it's perfectly for you. Your acceptance in God is not about what you've done. Your acceptance in God is not even about what Jesus did. It's about the Father's favor over you. His desire to love you even before you were born. His desire to set out a plan for you even before the world was conceived. He's loved you and had a plan for you. That's the mystery that's been revealed to us. It's this love that excels past anything that we know. And that love causes faith to operate in us because now we can have a place of safety and security in him. And as we have a place of safety and security in him, we can come to know him in a way that we never could have expected before. And because we operate in this place of knowing him in a way that we never expected before, we can come into a place of knowing and operating in a grace that we could not have known. Because grace and peace will be multiplied in the knowledge of God. And as grace and peace are multiplied in the knowledge of God, it creates a new pathway in our thinking. So that no matter what it is or hindrance that is from the past, now he can establish a new way of thinking that leads us and gives us entrance into his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if even a man was caught in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. And verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden and fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each of you examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard in himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each shall bear his own load. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. In verse 1, it says, even if a man is caught in trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. It's hard to be in a place of judgment when you're looking to yourself. And I can come alongside another and begin to restore them in their error. But as I do so, I need to be conscious to not be judgmental. And as I come alongside one to rescue them, you realize that even as you partake in the offering, because of the word of God that goes out of this place, you're coming alongside another. Hopefully to restore them from error. To restore them and to bring into their life, without judgment, a place of healing and restoration. To bring into their life a place of truth, and hopefully a place that begins to magnify and glorify God. I get emails from people all around the world. But this is their place of abiding. This is their place to come because in their locality they don't have other options. Each time that you partake of an offering here, You're partaking of that sharing with them. So I just encourage you to do what God would have you to do this morning. And I think we fulfilled your verse. Amen. God bless.